We are going to read the Word of God at this particular time. There's some verses at the end of Luke's Gospel chapter 12 that I want to read and then draw your attention to just a phrase, actually the last verse of this chapter, for a few moments. It's Luke's Gospel chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 54. And he said also to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence, that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. It is that last verse that I want to draw your attention to for a little time this afternoon. The words of the Lord Jesus, "I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite." Now these words come at the end of a very lengthy chapter, in which the Lord Jesus is speaking to a very great multitude. Back there in verse 1 of this chapter, it tells us there was an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together. So interested were they in listening to the Savior and to hear what he had to say. There was also the added dimension in that he was also speaking with the scribes and the Pharisees. And there was that ongoing contention between them and the Lord Jesus. They never accepted him. They always were there to criticize and to point out faults as they could see them. And therefore in the background there was this theme as well to be noticed in this chapter, that the scribes and Pharisees were present, and there were times that the Lord Jesus had something to say to them. But there is this gathering of this great multitude, innumerable is how the scripture tells us, so many that they couldn't count them. It also tells us that in so much that they trod one upon another, they all wanted to get close enough to the Lord Jesus to hear what he had to say. It wasn't just their being in a crowd for crowd's sake and being on the periphery and on the outer edges of it and yet never hearing anything, just engaged in a conversation with whoever was with you or standing beside you. No, they wanted to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. And because of that, then they were pushing in and even walking on the top of each other. Some people were getting knocked over, it would seem. All interested in hearing what the Lord Jesus had to say. Now, the Savior never missed an opportunity to speak to those who were before him. Whether it was the scribes or the Pharisees, or whether it is this large number of people, he always had a word in season. He always had a word that was appropriate to the times and to the people and to the circumstances that were prevalent. And so it is here in this occasion. The Lord has a word to say to them. And that's what brings us to the closing verses of this chapter. Because the Savior is grieved here over something. And he's grieved over the fact that they cannot understand the times in which they live. It tells us that there in verse 56, "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, and how is it that ye do not discern this time?" Oh, they could read the physical signs. They could look up into the sky and know what sort of a day it was going to be or what the morrow was going to be. They were able to discern the direction of the wind and to be able to say, well, the heat is coming because the wind is coming from the south. But the Lord Jesus lamented that they did not have spiritual understanding. They had physical understanding, but not spiritual understanding. And we too can be like that, men and women. We can have a certain degree of understanding of the things that are around us, the physical things that are around us, even the circumstances that we're found in at the present time with these restrictions. We can understand those and why they are necessary for a period of time. But what about spiritual understanding? What degree of spiritual understanding do we have, even this afternoon as we're gathered here? Or would the Savior be grieved over us and our lack of understanding of our own circumstances and of the times that we live in and the need that there is in our own heart and in our own life? The Savior goes on here to use an illustration. He speaks about an individual who is in debt, and he draws the point that it would be better for that individual to pay off his debt, speak to his creditor, settle the matter before he's taken before the judge. And he's cast into prison and he's not allowed to be let out until he's paid the very last mite, is how it is described there in the last verse. So the Lord is using this illustration where this man ought to, and he's encouraged to speak to his creditor and to sort out the problem with his debt, so that he's not cast into prison and left there until he's paid the very last mite. And that's a very instructive illustration for the Lord Jesus Christ to use, because it is one that is applicable in the spiritual realm as well. And ultimately, that's what the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. As I said, he's grieved because they do not have spiritual understanding. They have understanding of other things, but no spiritual understanding. And he uses this illustration, but in many respects, it is one that applies to both realms. It certainly applies in the material realm in which we live, but also far more than that, and particularly this afternoon, it applies in the spiritual realm. You see, the first thing I want you to consider here is that there is the highlighting of a debt that is to be paid. In this illustration, the Lord Jesus is speaking about a debtor. And if there is a debtor, then there is a debt that needs to be paid. There is a creditor to whom the debt needs to be paid. And is that not also applicable in the spiritual realm? Can we today not think about a debt that needs to be paid? A debt that you and I owe personally and individually? You see, the Bible describes sin as a debt. Every sin that we commit is the incurring of greater debt. We are born sinners. We are born in debt in that sense. But also the sins that we commit and that we practice day and daily, whatever sins though might be, little sins, great sins, according to our estimation, they're all sins in God's sight. And every sin is the incurring of further debt. The Lord Jesus actually spoke, or the Lord himself in the Old Testament, spoke about sin in that way as being piled up one upon the other. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, he said to Israel, "Ye add sin to sin." And there is the idea there of just putting one upon another, upon another, upon another. And before long, you've got a mountain of sin, a mountain of debt. And every one of us are in debt to the law of God and to the justice of God. We have broken that law. We have sinned against the Lord. There is none who have not sinned. There is no difference in that sense, the Bible says. There might be many other differences in life, even among us here this afternoon, difference in circumstances and background and so on. But there's something common to every one of us today, and that is the fact that we are all born sinners and that we have all committed sin, and therefore we are all debtors before God. We owe a debt to his law and to his justice. And we do not have that, the means to pay off that debt. We do not have the means to pay that off. There is nothing that you and I can do. And yet many people think that they can. Many people think that if they live a decent life and do good deeds, be a decent neighbor, serve their fellow man, that somehow this will pay off the debt. The Bible tells us that it won't. It won't pay off one single mite. to use the term that is here in this portion of Scripture. Our efforts, our best efforts, will not pay off a single mite of the debt that we owe to the law of God. We cannot pay of ourselves. And what a predicament that leaves us in. You see, that leaves us then in a sorry state. That leaves us then in an utterly miserable state. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus was grieved at that generation? Because they didn't understand these things. They didn't understand that he had come into the world to deal with this very matter of the debt that they owed. The second thing I want you to consider here is that the Lord Jesus highlights the point that there will be no release until this debt is paid in full. There is no release. That last verse says, I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. That's true in a material, secular realm. The debt must be paid before you can be exonerated and excused the debt, and for the credit, the creditor will lay off all claims upon you. You must pay the debt. You must settle the account in full and to the creditor's satisfaction. Well, it is also true in the spiritual sense. This debt has to be settled. This debt has to be addressed. Sometimes people get into debt and they kind of, like the old ostrich, bury their head in the sand. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to face up to it and address the matter. And there are people like that spiritually who do want to face up to the matter that they need to be saved, that they can't save themselves and they can't pay off the debt of their sins of themselves, and they go on thinking, oh, if I keep doing something, if I do just a little bit more, a little bit extra, if I try to be a bit better, the Lord will take me home and then enter into heaven. That won't happen. This debt has to be settled in full, just as the Lord said here about this individual. He'd be better sorting it out with his creditor before he goes to the judge, and the judge casts him into prison and he remains there until he's paid the very last mite. Surely we can see the spiritual application. What happens to an individual who dies out of Christ? They're cast into an everlasting prison, and they'll be there forever because they'll never pay it off. And these words will be true. You'll be there till you pay the very last mite, and you'll be there for all of eternity, because we can never pay one mite, never mind the last mite. We cannot pay this debt of ourselves, and there's no release until it is paid. And the Lord Jesus would have the people of that day to face up to that reality. And surely today that's something we need to face up to as well. That brings us to the last thing I want you to consider here, that Jesus Christ came to pay the debt of sin. Jesus Christ came to pay the debt of sin. You can only understand the Savior's life and what he said and how the events unfolded and worked out if you understand this. Jesus Christ came into the world to pay the debt of sin. That's why he came in the first place. That's what took him to the cross. That's why he spoke about the cross being a necessity. He told his disciples that they had to go up to Jerusalem, and that he would be put to death, and that he would rise again the third day. All of these things were certainties in the plan and purpose of God because of this very one thing. They were all designed to deal with the debt of sin. And Jesus Christ came into the world with that purpose of paying the debt of sin, so that you and I can escape then, so that you and I can meet the Lord, and the justice of God does not have any claims upon us. There's not a creditor to speak up against us and say that person has a debt to the law of God they haven't paid. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, then on that day when we stand before the judge of all the earth, there will be no claims made against us. There will be no creditor to speak up and to say that individual has a debt they haven't paid, because Christ will have paid it in full. There's that hymn in our hymn book. I think it's 322. But the chorus is, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's the gospel today. That's the message that is to be preached and declared to all the world. Jesus paid it all. And if Jesus Christ hasn't paid it all, then you or I will never pay it, nor anyone else will ever be able to pay it. Only Jesus Christ can pay the debt of sin, because only Christ gave his life as a sacrifice. His death was no ordinary death. He was crucified between the two thieves, and yet his death was altogether different. Those two thieves either side were dying for crimes that they had committed themselves. Jesus Christ was dying for the crimes, for the sins of others. He had no sin. He had no crimes of his own to atone for. He died for the sins of others. And because of that substitutionary death of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God in the place of others, then we can say today, even with the words of this, the chorus of this hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. You see, my friend, it's Jesus Christ and his salvation that we need then. This is how we pay off the debt of sin. This is how you can have peace with God. This is how you can put your head on the pillow in an evening and know for sure the debt is paid, that sin, the matter of sin, is sorted out. It's cancelled, it's gone. You'll never have to answer for it, because Jesus Christ has answered in full. It's all to do with Jesus Christ. And I trust today that you might indeed be one who knows Jesus Christ, and you're able to say, he's paid my debt, and he's paid it in full. And if you cannot say that today, then you need to make sure that you do. You need to seek the Lord even now where you are. You need to seek the Lord this very moment and call upon him to save your soul, to pay off the debt of your sins. The Bible speaks about that judgment day when the books are opened and all the sins of those who have trusted in Christ are all blotted out. That word is actually used in the Bible back in Isaiah, where he says, I will blot out your transgressions. They're hidden from view. They're cancelled. The debt is gone. That's the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ. And therefore may the Lord bless his word, even from this portion of scripture that we have been considering for a little while. And may you be able to say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left that crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this evening for his name's sake. We're going to sing a closing hymn just in a moment. 215 in the hymnal, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride. And that chorus of that hymn brings us to Calvary. Reminds us that the mercy of God was great. Grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Because that's the place where Jesus paid it all. And may we be those who have come to Calvary.